Blog Talk Radio.
Martial law, new world order, FEMA camps, guillotines, aliens, UFOs, fallen angels, Anunnaki. The Earth will never be the same again. And at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt.
Sell their soul for a chance.
and you must choose. Will it be eternal life, or will you choose to lose your soul as you disappear into the midnight?
Dear Heavenly Father, Father God, I lift up every single listener of this radio show right now, including myself, and I pray, Father, please, in the name of Jesus, we need an anointing to come down from your incredible and awesome, glorious light and throne to touch our hearts and our minds and to give us that strength that is promised us in Isaiah 40, 31, I believe it is, where it says, Father, that you will strengthen us and that we will rise up with wings, like an eagle, and we will run and not be weary and walk and not faint. Father, we need that anointing. We need that power to come down upon us at this time. We are in a position right now where we look around, we see the things that are happening across the world. And for those of us that you have gifted, it is a very, very difficult gift to be gifted of empathy and a high level of sensitivity, which would align us appropriately with the compassion of our Lord Jesus. For those of us who have been gifted by that, it becomes also a burden. And that burden is exceedingly difficult to deal with because we see the things that are happening across the world. We see the people dying. We see Psalm 91 actually becoming our reality. We've known for quite some time, Father, that Ecclesiastes 1:18 has kind of been a mantra verse for many of us. And as you know, we try to make a little bit of joy out of it by being humorous as much as we can to get us through the challenges that are associated with this walk, Father, because when we have a sensitive heart toward the plight of the people of the world like our King Jesus did, it brings us into a place where it really can suck us down kind of into a pit, into a little bit of a whirlpool of sadness, and that sadness can become very overwhelming, and we can lose the joy that we need to have in order to show the love and compassion of Jesus and also to be able to demonstrate to those around us that we are happy, we are glorified in the sense that we know where we are going and that death does not have a grip on us. At the same time, Father God, though, this walk is exceedingly difficult because we're in a place and a time right now, we can call it a season, where we are, certainly struggling with hearing the things that we are hearing, watching the darkness unfold. Many of us, I would submit, did not imagine that it would unfold so slowly and deliberately as it is. We do recognize and we praise you for this, Father. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the wonderful side effect of things moving slowly, where we see people that were not awakened slowly starting to become awakened. Even unbelievers are becoming awakened, even to the point where we can even ask them if what do you think about this? Is this, do you see, and they will oftentimes wonder to themselves if this isn't some sort of manifestation of the end times, and people are coming around, and we praise you for that, Father, because we know that you have a heart, that you would want not one to fail. But at the same time, Father, for those of us who, for whatever reason, you have chosen before the foundations of the earth to, or maybe perhaps, during the election process, Father, maybe we chose to come down during this time. And certainly, in accordance with, Psalm 139, you clearly know, the beginning from the end for all of us. And you have chosen us for this time. And we praise you for that. But at the same time, we ask you, please, Father, please, Lord Jesus, we ask you as our advocate to pour out a little bit more strength upon each of us that we're able to look at the things that are happening across the world and not take it personally, not allow it to cause us to fall into a period of grief. And this can be, Father, many of us, I've been exposed exposed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, to so many saints. And I praise you for that because it gives me a very broad perspective on things that is not, you know, tunnel vision or myopic in its view. And that's a blessing. But at the same time, Father, we need extra help. We need an extra anointing, an extra outpouring. We need some help. We need help. And we're asking you, Father, to teach us, to fill us with your presence, to fill us with that promise that it says in Isaiah 40:31 that we will mount up with wings of eagles and we will not be depressed and sad and full of tears. And I know that there's scriptures that say that we, you know, that we will be that way at times and we'll wake up in the morning with joy. But many of us, Father, due to the darkness that has encompassed the entire world right now, many of us are not able to achieve that joy. And instead, we find ourselves in a constant state of trouble, you know, feeling troubled in our heart for the things that are happening across the world. And we need that anointing, Father God. We need it more than anything. Lord Jesus, we praise you for answering our prayers. We praise you for answering the things that, you know, when we mess up so much, we make so many mistakes. When we are truly penitent, when we are truly constantly in a continuous state of self-examination and a contrite spirit, and then we can see so clearly how unworthy we ultimately are, and we embrace the scriptures that give us the promises that are ours, and we love them. But at the same time, as we see the darkness closing in around about us, it is a very difficult balance. It becomes more of Ecclesiastes 1:18 than any of us even anticipated. Father, many of us believed that things would transpire in accordance with your word, in accordance with many of the prophecies that I would submit are probably very good prophecies and were clearly from your throne room, Father, that you know, that things were going to transpire a lot faster than they have. We have, Father, we have had, you know, we've gone through the ups and downs associated with, you know, I would submit probably hundreds, if not more, maybe thousands of prophecies that indicated that, you know, we would probably go into a martial law state, and that things would accelerate, and the Antichrist would have, risen up, you know, and martial law would have been instituted in this country and probably abroad, back as in 2015, 2014. But instead, we find ourselves in the place that we are right now, which is really kind of a place of, you know, of a type of global confusion. It's certainly a place where we can see the division amongst our brethren at a more higher level of obviousness. I don't know how else to put it, but it's so obvious to us, Father. We you know, if we monitor, for example, CBN or any of the other, we see that they don't understand so much that is happening today. We see that so many of our brothers and sisters are unaware of, you know, how end times we are and how deep into the end times we actually are. We see so much division, Father. We see it's everywhere. And then when we are awakened to these things, it's crushing. It's emotionally destroying. It is absolutely horrible to see the things that are happening out there. And Father, we need an anointing to come down upon us, please, to strengthen us, especially those of us who are in the workplace, especially those of us who are taking on incredible pressures in order to continue to be able to serve you. And so many of us, Father, that those that are blessed, we just pray, Father, that you will anoint those that are no longer in the workforce. We pray, please, Father, in Jesus' name, that you will anoint them with an anointing of prayer, a double portion, an Elisha portion of prayer power, that they would kindly pray for the others of us that do have to deal with the pressures of daily life and things like that, and just recognize how unbelievably blessed they are, even though I'm sure they're going through very much trauma and sadness in their hearts as well. I know this is absolutely true. And Father, and please have mercy, if you would, please kindly, Father, through your loving kindness and your incredible mercy, to also touch and anoint the people, our fellow brothers and sisters that have good hearts, that would be wonderful members of the Bride of Jesus Christ. Let not any of them stay behind and become part. Oh, Father, we don't want anyone to have to be part of the wheat. We want people to be part of the first fruits harvest. We you know, many are called and few are chosen. Father, please, we pray that we are chosen. We lift up all of our fellow brothers and sisters, even those that are on the seven mountains, so many that you have anointed with incredible experiences and unbelievable testimonies, but they are real. And just because they believe certain things, there's so much division amongst how people believe and what they believe. Father, let that all just melt away. We pray in the name of Jesus that you will allow a spirit, Father, to fall down upon the hearts and the minds of our fellow brothers and sisters, to bring unity into the hearts and to anoint us with a strength that can only come from on high, one that can only come from you. Help us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, Father God, and fall absolutely head over heels in love with you. If we have slid down a little bit and struggled because of the things that are happening around us and our hearts and minds have been sort of, pushed away or torn away from that continuous state of, what we should have is that supernatural peace that passes all understanding on our hearts and our minds. Father, many of us are having difficulty, just as King David did in Psalm 51. Many of us are having difficulty being able to get past, the things that we're seeing happening around us and achieve the joy that is necessary to be able to show other people that these things that are happening are, and it's a paradox. It's a paradox. Many of them will not understand it. They will not embrace it. They will not believe what we are saying. But Father, we pray that you will please fill us with that joy, fill us with that confidence and that total trust in you that we need to have, even though that we know that we are imperfect. We pray, Father God, that you will place upon our heart a spirit that is so anointed that at all times we are continuously in communion with you and that we are truly dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. I know that I slip outside of that place of the Most High sometimes because, Father, because of the things that I see, and they affect me emotionally, and I know that they affect other people emotionally. You know, Father God, that I wear my heart on my sleeve because I don't want to be a fake, smiley, bouncy pastor sitting in front of a bunch of people telling them things that, are not relevant to their walk. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you will continue to use me in whatever capacity that you wish to use me. But I also, Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you will return, as King David asked in Psalm 51, that you will return the joy of our salvation as ultimately our Savior through Jesus, and that we may glorify you via the joy that we are praying that you will place upon our heart. That joy that we need to be able to wake up in the morning, raise our hands up, and not be depressed about the things that are happening across the world, not be bummed out about how long these things are taking, not be struggling with our own life situations and shunning that occurs because of where we are in our walk as compared to some others, but Father, raise our hands and give you glory and say, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you for that anointing. We praise you for that anointing because we know that we're going to get it. We are going to stand firm. We're going to persevere, and we give you all the glory and honor and praise, Father God. And Jesus, now to him who is able to keep us from stumbling, Lord Jesus, we pray, please keep us from stumbling in our hearts and our minds and our emotions and the things that we see happening around us. Convert us and change us. Renew our minds. Fill us with the presence of that joy that we need to have and that anointing that we need to have to go through the days that we have ahead of us and to progress in our sanctification, not out of ignorance, but out of an anointing that could only come from your incredible throne room and your unbelievable mercy. We praise you for this. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for answering the prayers that we have prayed. We have not seen an answer for yet, but we know that we will see that answer. We thank you, Lord, and we thank you for Romans 8:28, that all things work out together for the good to those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. We thank you for the Textus Receptus. We feel sorry for the believers that are reading the Latin Vulgate versions of the Bible that leave out the most important parts of some of the verses like that one. And Father, we just thank you for our walk. We thank you for the trials and tribulations and the difficulties and the metanoia and the suffering that we need to go through. We pray that you will choose us in the name of Jesus. Help us to make it, Father God. We cannot make it without your help. This situation is gruesome across the world. And we pray in the name of Jesus for that anointing to fall upon every one of us, because we need it more than ever, ever before. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And now to him who is able to keep us from stumbling, Lord Jesus, and present us faultless, please, Lord, before our Father with exceeding joy in the throne room of God. How amazing. And to you, Father God, our Savior, who alone is wise, have mercy upon us, Father. Remember that we are dust, and fill us with an anointing that gives us a strength that is beyond our comprehension, and a supernatural peace and trust, utter absolute surrender and trust in you as we progress in the days ahead of us, even now. We thank you, Father God, and we praise you for this, because we know that you would want not one to perish, and we know, Father God, that you're our Father, and you love us, and we are grafted onto the olive tree. We are in the hands of Jesus. We are in your hands, and these are going to be some really bumpy roads that we're going to have to travel, and we pray, Father and Lord Jesus, that you will keep us steady on that narrow path as best as possible. Help us to change the things in our lives that need to be changed. It's a very difficult walk right now, and we're just asking for extra help, and we praise you for that, because we know that you will give it to us. Hallelujah, and thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise your holy name.
Watch and pray, for I would come for you one day. I gave you my word so you would know the time I'd come and take you home. It's time for you to look around. The signs I gave are coming down. Don't be called to sleep and blind. You don't want to be left. Come and be whole. 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 Come and be whole.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Man, I got to tell you, folks, I think we're in the period of sorrows now. Yep, that's what I think. I think we've broken past that, and it's hard really to know for sure. But
I don't hang out in the internetosphere, but the Lord does find a way, believe me. Two things the Lord definitely does with me a lot is that if I preach it, he makes me live it.
which makes me go oh no. And then oftentimes, if not every single time, it is something that I have to learn, and quite frequently I don't pass the test very well. I think a lot of us are struggling with a lot of those things, and that's just part of the walk. And we get knocked off our, and plus Satan, we're huge. I mean, look, think about it. Now, I know not everybody believes like this, and that's okay. I don't, I'm not here to, get into a divisive discussion about things. I just share what the Lord has shown me. And I have conversations all the time with other believers that, don't
agree. You know, they just read the Bible and they take it, you know, very literally, which is fine, but they just don't see some of the things that the Lord has shown me personally, which is fine. I praise him and thank him so much. I mean, I don't want to sit here and bawl like a baby, but I praise him so much for all the incredible blessings that he has shown me through miraculous events in my life that helped me to be able to feel pretty confident, you know, over and over again, you know, that the things that, you know, he has shown me are, you know, relatively accurate. I won't say they're 100% accurate. That would be silly. But I think they're relatively accurate. They're pretty close to, the, you know, a correct understanding. Praise God. And that may be just God answering my prayer that I had over 10 years ago when I, you know, started to do the radio show and was, you know, well into doing it. And I realized that, you know, the stakes were so high. And so once I realized how high the stakes were, you know, that people's salvation and stuff like that was at stake, well, it affected me. It really freaked me out. And I remember the very day that I walked out into my backyard by the pool, you know, Florida houses, you know, every 50% of the houses have pools, very common. But anyway, I walked out by the pool and I was standing there literally with my hands raised up in the air with tears rolling down my eyes. And I said, Father, I can't do this. I can't do this. You know, I'm not qualified. You know, the burden is too big. You know, and I said, basically I felt the Lord impressed upon my heart, even at that moment as I was praying, that, you know, that I had to, you know, kind of flush the you know, forgive me for this analogy, but I had to flush the proverbial churchianity commode. I had to get rid of all the stuff that I was taught in the church, and I had to, you know, relearn things, you know, and do that. And excuse me, please, because my BP was high and I took, of course, my BP meds, which are very strong. And they give me like, I can't drink a lot of water. Let me hold on just a second. I got 2 32-ounce squeezies full of ice water to make it through the show tonight. Praise Jesus. Yeah. But my BP was running kind of high today. So I got to keep it down. Anyway, praise God. So yeah, I knew, but what I didn't know is, you know, the stuff that I had wrong, I had a lot of learning to do. And I am constantly looking at myself. I mean, sometimes I make mistakes and I'm like, I can't believe I said that. And then I'm like, and then I reflect back to Peter, you know, where Jesus said, you know, get thee behind me, Satan. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Peter, you know, standing before Jesus, you know, and Satan actually, you know, grabbing his tongue and making him say something in front of the Lord. I mean, are we all not incredibly vulnerable to those kinds of things? I suspect that we probably are. I see it out there, but I try to steer clear of it as much as I possibly can. Anyway, so what I'm going to share with you tonight, because I don't want to run too far over time because I've got so much to share. I did have a conversation with Sister Terry. She said that the Lord had placed upon her heart, you know, her and Bud, you know, pray, her husband Bud, they pray together a lot, which I praise God for. I have other, you know, saints that pray for me a lot, which I need, believe me. And I pray in the name of Jesus for a tenfold blessing, and I mean it. And I pray for this in tears on my knees very frequently. I mean, you know, not every single day, but the majority of the week, you know, early in the morning before the birds even start tweeting, and it's real dark out, 4:30, 4 o'clock, mostly 4:30-ish. Excuse me, got a little bit of indigestion here I got to deal with. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I ordered some food and it didn't come. And, you know, it's kind of frustrating because, you know, it happens a lot. And so I've decided that no more DoorDash and no more Grubhub for me. I don't care if it is healthy food that I'm ordering. Too many times they just don't arrive. I kid you not. If I had all the money back from the times that they didn't deliver when they were supposed to have delivered, when I've already placed the order and they've already charged my credit card or my PayPal or whatever, if I had that food, I could probably feed half of China by now. So you'd think I'd learn, you know? So anyway, I've just decided I'm going to have to, you know, change things and do a little bit more cooking. But, well, okay, sorry to get sidetracked. But anyway, praise Jesus. So, yeah, I have a little bit of indigestion because I had to eat an unusual supper tonight, you know, to be able to get through the day, the show and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, praise God. But Yeah, and I've also, that whole keto thing, I'm going to keep on working on low carb as much as I can and try to keep my, you know, see if I can get my weight, what I call the pandemic 25 or whatever, the pandemic 30 for some people. I'm one of those people that if I look at a table full of food, I gain like 5 pounds. If I glance at it, I gain 5 pounds. So anyway, you know, so I'm just going to have to make some changes, you know, for myself. But I went on almost a 2-day fast, and I should have gone into ketosis, which is, you know, just a normal progression of the body after you fast for X number of hours. And I surpassed that number of hours. And then I tested myself. I have an actual blood ketone meter. And I was like, wow, I was barely even 0.5, which is barely even beginning to go into it. And I was like, okay, this isn't working here. So I'm just going to do like extra low carb and try to watch every single calorie and all that kind of stuff and see how that works out for me. I don't know. But anyway, I have limited exposure because I choose to let the Lord show me things. I'm unworthy. I mean, there's nobody as unworthy as me, and I don't think so anyway, and that's why I need as many prayers as I can possibly get, and I, believe me, I pray for you too. And I will tell you that I believe that we have entered into the period of sorrows. Okay, Jesus, you know, said, you know, in the Olivet Discourse, he said that when you see all these things happening around the world, this, that, and the other thing, signs, and you know, and that, you know, this is not the end yet. It is the beginning of sorrows. Well, sometimes the inferred meaning of the scripture is 10 times more important than the actual literal meaning of the scripture, which is why a lot of people kind of get lost in doctrine that, you know, they say, well, the Bible says this. Well, the problem is it's because they're not able to reason what the implied meaning of the word scripture is. So when it says one thing explicitly, there's an implied meaning as well, and a lot of people just don't have that, and that's okay. Looking at, you know, so of course, you know, when Jesus said this, you know, this isn't the end yet, but it's the beginning. Here's a key word: beginning of sorrows. Well, what does that mean? Where's the implied meaning there? Well, the implied meaning is clearly that there's going to be a period of sorrows. We will be in a period of sorrows, and I honestly believe that we have entered into that. Now, I could be wrong, and maybe it's just I'm a hyper HSP empath type person, and I got to tell you, folks, right now, hearing the things that I hear, watching the news that I watch, probably more exposed to it than most people even think, and exposed to a lot people don't think, and I don't even talk about. I think we are probably in the sorrows period as of recently. Now, I don't know exactly when that started to occur, but I do know that, you know, a lot of the people that I'm talking to, that I talk to on a regular basis behind the scenes, some that help with the ministry, et cetera, in different ways, I will say that they're feeling pretty much the same way. There is clearly in the scripture, it says, and I've mentioned this on many, many shows, you know, you've got Matthew 22, where it talks about two different groups that the king sends out. There's the first group that the king sends out, that's our father, to tell them, you know, that, you know, that the wedding feast is ready. Okay, that's Matthew 22. And then I think it's like the second verse, I'm not sure, he says, then the father sent out other servants, and that's an actual Greek word. It is there. It's not a mistranslation. Other servants into, you know, because nobody would listen. Everybody just kind of like, you know, blew it off. And we're all living that. You know, I joke around all the time in tongue in cheek to talk about, you know, the island of misfit toys and King Moon Racer kicking us off. And it's true. But at the same time, you know, that Ecclesiastes 1:18 problem comes back to kind of like haunt us. I honestly come to a place in my walk many times where, you know, when I connect back to what's going on around the world, I bawl. I mean, I don't want to sound, you know, I don't know. I just bawl. I cry. Heaving, crying, bawling, like long time kind of thing. And I can't seem to pull it back together sometimes because so And again, for those who may be relatively new listeners and you hear me say Ecclesiastes 1:18, it says, "For in much wisdom is much grief, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow." Well, if you're kind of like in a situation that the regular listeners of this program are, and you are aware of the things that are happening across the world, and you are not, you know, and you realize that, you know, we're not from here, we're not staying here, we are citizens of heaven, and we are leaving, we're on a mission. That's how it is, that we are on a mission, and many of us went through an election process, and many of us, you know, perhaps chose even, you know, our roles here on this planet. Okay. And our roles, you know, we need to fulfill that. And that's why Jesus said, you know, he didn't even stop to take a drink of water. By the way, I'm going to have another one. Thank you, Jesus. But, you know, between the parable of the wise and foolish virgins, he never even, you know, there wasn't even a pause. He went right into the parable of the talents and rewards. Okay, so we do need to, you know, be cognizant of that. We, you know, need to be working very hard and praying very fervently for ourselves. Again, that's physician, heal thyself. That was a warning from Jesus. We cannot be, you know, what we need to be in Christ if we can't keep our, you know, emotional stuff in check. Okay. And that makes it especially hard when you are a, let's call it a victim of Ecclesiastes 1:18. It's a blessing, but it's also kind of, you know, a burden as well. As a matter of fact, it can be a burden of such magnitude that it weighs down on you so hard. And then when, you know, of course, you know, because many of us are prayer warriors, spiritual prayer warriors, you know, that makes it even worse because the devil hates our guts. I mean, you know, many of us probably have wanted posters, hell, you know, wanted posters with our pictures on it, you know, and the devil is, I have no doubt in my mind, certainly for myself and I suspect probably for a lot of the listeners, that, you know, we are under some really heavy attack. And that, you know, when you're, you know, there's a reason why in Ephesians 6, 10, 11, 12, blah, 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 having done all to stand. You know, to wrestle, you know, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but with principalities, powers, spiritual hosts, wickedness, et cetera, et cetera. And then it goes on and on. It says, and having done all to stand. I mean, really, when you think about that, that has massive implications, you know, regarding, you know, the implication there really is that the devil's going to be knocking us off of our game. We're going to get knocked off of our game. You know, having done all to try to continue to stand. Okay, that's a, wow, that's a mouthful. And so anyway, I really do believe with all my heart that we have at this point into the sorrows period. Now, what I don't know is how long the sorrows period, I you know, we have our list. I did have somebody email me, you know, and make a comment. You know, I've talked about this on the show many, many times, and this particular person was, you know, calling me to the Sanhedrin, and this individual, you know, emailed me, and he said, well, those things that you're always mentioning, like the Pacific Northwest tsunami megaquake, you know, the Cascades subduction zone going down, another possible, you know, seen by Dr. David O'Rourke, probably another West Coast United States earthquake as well, possibly preceding that or as a part of that event. So it looks like, you know, it's hard to tell, but if Dr. David O'Rourke's two visions of, you know, West Coast earthquakes are separate events, then that would indicate more than one. Okay. Then we have, you know, a cosmic object, an asteroid hitting the back of the sun, causing a storm, major power grid outages, which is associated with the David Doetry vision of the big gigantic spaceship appearing in the sky, which evidently precedes the barley harvest. Then you've got meteor showers, you know, that are supposed to hit at least the United States, which would make sense because the Earth is spinning and, you know, it would hit a certain part of the Earth, not all of, you know, a shower would not necessarily hit every part of the Earth at the same time. That, you know, of course, it's common sense. All right. And then the global financial collapse, which is the third seal, which we see a lot of the signs of that approaching exceedingly fast right now. You've got the North Korean sinking of a United States aircraft carrier. The number of people that were shown that, people of God that were shown that in prophecies, dreams, and visions is very difficult to tabulate. We have the direct missile attacks and foreign troops on American soil, which might come much later. We don't know. According to the Cérémonie vision, it seems to come, you know, it's down the road a ways. We've got the Israeli jets launching two tactical nukes, you know, at the Fort Dow facility. But the question is, does Bennett send in, you know, maybe a MOAB strike, you know, mother of all bombs or whatever they call it, the air bomb? Does he try that first and then go, oh, darn, it didn't work, you know, so how long is that going to stretch out? We don't know. You've got the major man-made biological attacks and pandemics killing millions. We're not there yet, and so we got a lot of ugly that is still coming our way. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. That's why we need to pray fervently. Physician, heal thyself. We've got to get to a point somehow that we don't allow this to emotionally affect us, and that is really hard. And I didn't realize for myself how hard that would actually be, and I'm really struggling with it. I'm going to be perfectly blunt and honest. I will never ever tell you anything. I'm happy. I've even had people say, well, you shouldn't say that stuff on the radio show because you're just opening yourself up for more satanic attack. Well, that's just fine. If the devil wants to keep on beating on me, then he can just keep on beating on me. I'm going to keep on fighting back. I'm going to do whatever I got to do to make it. I'm going to persevere no matter what. You know, like I said about that t-shirt that I read on the last show or whatever, you know, I'll just read the t-shirt again. I got to scroll down in the show notes to read it again. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. This was a miracle that I even saw this. I was, you know, it was just a miracle. This is one of those things I call mini miracle. And I actually took a picture of it. It says, crawling is acceptable. Falling is acceptable. Puking is acceptable. Crying is acceptable. Pain is acceptable. But quitting is not. Talk about having to live that one. But, you know, we've got this. So I got called to the Sanhedrin from a listener, and they're like, well, how come, you know, and I, you know, then you got the several major United States cities being nuked from the ground. Oh, boy, how horrible is that going to be to even be alive during that? It's going to be unbelievable. You know, you've got the missile being launched from Libya into Israel that has a nuclear tip on it. The Gog and Magog invasion killing 2 million people in Israel. You know, those things are starting to heat up right now, but we don't know. You know, what happens after Bennett does what he does? You know, they've come right out. The IDF has come right out and said, we are going to attack Iran. No, they're not beating around the bush anymore. There ain't no more, here's our red line in front of the United Nations with Netanyahu anymore. I mean, Bennett is just coming right out and going, we are going to attack Iran. Okay, so, folks, we are accelerating fast. The problem is that, you know, unfortunately, the American, I believe with all of my heart, that because God has obviously lifted his hand of protection off of planet Earth to some degree, okay, because if he lifted it all the way off, let me tell you something, we'd all be getting ushered into FEMA camps right now and getting our heads cut off. Believe me, he that restrains, you know, and 2 Thessalonians 2 is still restraining, believe it or not. All right, praise God for that. But we've got the nukes that are going to be nuking, you know, ground-based nukes. The list is very big of the stuff that's going to happen. The problem is that we don't really know exactly when talk about implied scripture versus, and then also being able to spiritually discern scripture. You know, you can take it totally literally, which is good. I'm a literalist. Amen. Praise God. However, you know, there are certain things you can't take literally, and you have to, you know, soul search yourself and pray and be able to, you know, because again, a perfect example of this is Luke 12, 35, 36, 37, 38, where Jesus says, you know, blessed are you if you are from the second watch, I will take you back and, you know, you will, you know, and you know, to the wedding supper, essentially. And then he says, and blessed are you if you're from the third watch. But he never mentions the first watch. So the people that are, you know, there are a lot of people out there that just read that and they'll go, well, there must be a second watch and there must be a third watch. Well, obviously there is no first watch because my Bible doesn't say there is. Well, see, that's a huge mistake. That is not how we are to interpret our scripture. But, you know, critical thinking skills and truly meditating on the scripture, you know, I don't think we should ever be reading any scripture without asking that question, why? Okay, we should, why? Why are there, is there a second watch? Why is there a third watch? What is this talking about? Okay, you know, so anyway, I do believe, you know, and like I said, I told the brother that he wasn't unkind, and so I answered him, you know, and I explained to him. I said, yes, you are correct. We have of that big list that we've been reading on this radio show for, come on, I don't even know how many years, there are not a single one of them thus far that have specifically come true. That is true. However, what we do see, for those of us who are spiritually sensitive to these things and are watching the right things and not the stuff that the mainstream mind control MK Ultra media wants us to look at, it's a sleight of hand, folks. It's a sleight of hand. You know, this is a choreographed satanic, group of activities that are being, you know, led by some of the most evil entities that the earth could ever conjure up. And it's sick. It's sick. It's twisted. It's troubling to say the least. And I praise God for his mercy, because if it wasn't for his mercy, there would be like millions of Christians dead, taking the mRNA vaccines, and many of them were spared. They didn't get hurt at all. I praise God for that. I know entire churches that have taken it, and not a single side effect, not a one. That to me indicates that it is probably pretty likely that our Heavenly Father has divine heat, or what would you call it, a walking in divine health, that his intent is to wake up more and more and more of the believers across the world and increase the size of the remnant bride. I believe that, and I actually pray for that. I want us to kick the devil's hiney cheeks into the next dimension so bad. When we raise up amidst the darkness, I want it to be the most amazing thing. I want it to glorify God on a level that none of us can even imagine in our wildest dreams. Hallelujah. Because anything that we can do through the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring in more people, as it says at the end of Matthew 22, that the second group, the others that were sent out by the great king will go out into the highways and the byways, et cetera, and they will find the good and the bad, and they will become guests at the wedding supper. And then it ends it all with, many are called, few are chosen. Chosen to be what? Well, in that case, it would be referring to chosen to be one of the servants that our Father is sending out as the king in the parable of Matthew 22. So it's really cool, because nowadays we can read the parables and we can go, oh my goodness, reading a newspaper. But a lot of people can't do that. And that's okay. It's not, we're all part of the body of Christ. We're, I at least hope so. And for those who may not be, I pray in Jesus' name that you are, that you become it. If you're a new ager out there listening to the show by accident, or I've had so many blessed, precious emails from new agers that, would listen to the program simply because we were covering a lot of the earth changes that are happening. And, new agers are very big on that whole pagan, save the earth and worship trees and all that kind of stuff. And so they are very quick to jump on the, Green New Deal type of thing. And they believe that the aliens are our friends and family from outer space and all that. So when they listen to this program, sometimes they listen because they have an ulterior motive, and that's just to get, a quick snapshot of the headlines on earth changes and stuff. And I've had people email me and go, oh my gosh, I believe in Jesus now. This is amazing. They just missed, the most important part. And a lot of people are missing the most important part. So anyway, I spoke with Terry Hill. I don't even know what I did. I made some adjustments to the show. I hope I reset it to extra time, but I want to play some stuff for you. Now, kids, I'm sorry. Do not get sad. Please don't get sad, but I don't have time to do the jokes. Okay. Hey, ease up on that now, kids. You know, you're good Jesus kids. You're all right with that, aren't you? Okay, one. Just one. What part of the fish weighs the most? What part of the fish weighs the most? The scales. The scales. Okay, so is it all right if I go on to all the other stuff? Okay. All right. At least somebody's nice to me. I mean, for my goodness. But anyway, it's all right. Praise God. All right. So first, I want to do – oh, there's so much to share. And Terry was so – she's so precious. I love her. Anyway, she said she's going to hang in there, and we'll just play it by ear. But anyway, time-wise. But I want to share – there's so much I want to share with you because it's shocking. And I really think you need to know about it. And let's just move into it. All right. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. First, we'll do the stinger, and then we go right into it.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
It's not normal.
It's just wrong.
It's not normal.
This is disturbing.
Game over.
Praise God. Now. All right, so this is a tweet that was sent to me on Twitter by I would consider this person to be a pretty close friend of mine, at least, you know, behind the scenes. And he found this released, and I'm just going to read it to you. I'm just going to quote it to you, okay? Ivermectin for the vaccinated patients and for the unvaccinated, only ventilators. That's what happened in America last year. She has been a nurse for 40 years in Australia. Okay. Now, we're going to touch on the ivermectin thing a little bit later as well, but I want to play for you a whole bunch of other stuff because you got to hear it. Words can't describe. All right. I'm just going to go ahead and give it my best shot. Here we go. All right. So first I got to double click it, double check my settings. And I'm going to hit it right now.
I want to talk to you about a couple of things that are very, very concerning.
This is going back.
Something I told you last night on the TV show, that there are 11 things that the left has needed that I have been watching since about 2008, that I started doing my homework on revolution, and I talked to people all over the world that have either witnessed them or are professors that understand this system. I mean, it really is. You have to have a system to overthrow a nation if you're going to do it successfully. And it runs the same way. And I put these 11 things together, and I've been watching them for 20-some years. Because of that, I really didn't think all of them would come into play. I thought there were about four or five. I thought they'll never get this. Military was one of them. Intelligence agency was another one. I never thought that they would be able to turn the police force against the people, and they haven't. They've just destroyed it. They have all of the pieces they need. Last night on the chalkboard, I added a couple of others. One, what does this collapse into? So you need a net, and then you do a controlled collapse. You manage the decline, and that's the phase we're in right now. You will not recognize your lifestyle. Hear me. I've said you won't recognize your country, and that is true, and you don't recognize it if you're anything like me or any of my friends. You don't recognize this country anymore. It's not the same country. And you know we're on the wrong track. And that's not a left-right thing. That's a right-wrong thing. We're on the wrong track. I'm telling you now, new information. You are not going to recognize the American lifestyle. And I don't want to put a time on it because I'm always wrong in timing. But it could happen tomorrow. It could happen in 5 years from now, but it will. We are headed for a very different country, one where you don't have the rights that you have, and you certainly don't have the economic privileges that Americans are used to. And when I say privileges, I mean energy. I mean going out and getting a hamburger. There's a couple of things that I want to talk to you about, and next Wednesday night I'm doing a special on the economy that you really need to pay attention to. But something happened last night, and honestly, I wish I had a crystal ball that could give me an answer here. But something important happened in China, and I'm not sure how this is going to affect us yet. I've got my tentacles out to a few people that I respect, So far, they're all like, I don't know. I don't know. This is big, but I don't know. You just need to have it on your radar. The Lehman Brothers collapse. Remember, there was Bear Stearns and then Lehman Brothers. When Lehman Brothers collapsed in 2008, that's when the crap hit the fan, right? That's when we went into full-fledged TARP. We've got to destroy the free market to save the free market. That's when all the lights around the world were supposed to go out because of the collapse of Lehman Brothers. Now, yesterday, and I told you about this last week, that it looked like it was coming, but yesterday, the Chinese Lehman Brothers collapsed, and it's going to have a cascading effect on the Chinese financial markets, and it's weird. Because I'm not sure how this is going to work because China is such a different market. The good news here is the Chinese version of Lehman Brothers we don't have a lot of exposure to it. According to an article I read last night, 90% of Evergrande's, that's the name of their Lehman Brothers, it's owned by Chinese investors, mostly institutional. So the losses are isolated to China or more so to China than Lehman Brothers, where they had about 50% of all of the exposure was overseas. Only 10% of this is overseas. However, this is going to be really, really bad for the Asian markets. And when I say Asian, I mean Australia and New Zealand. Australia is going to get hit hard by this because their Social Security Trust Fund was invested in this company through this company. It's a huge part of their Social Security Fund is in this. So you're gonna start to see decline of lifestyle and decline for senior citizens in the Asian Pacific region. This is going to have big ripple effects. I don't know how yet. What the problem was is derivatives. The same thing that happened in 2008 now has happened in China. And by the way, our derivative problem is far bigger than it was in 2008.
All right. Now, I'm going to stop it at that point. If you want to hear the whole thing, you can go to theblaze.com and look for the article, Glenn Beck Warns, The Economy is Changing and You Are Not Going to Recognize the American Lifestyle. All right. That's the title of it. But you got the gist of what he was saying. It is deeply troubling, but at the same time, we are the thing that it's really hard to get our arms around is that concept associated with the seals and how, and this is not something that, the vast majority of churchianity agrees with. It is my own personal opinion that when I look at the metaphors used in the Bible, I actually take them literally. So I see, the seals and the seals are, in Revelation 6, what does a seal do? It holds a scroll together, and there's nothing, Jesus can, so you get the first seal, second seal, third seal, fourth seal. So there is an order, but what we cannot derive, what we just don't know the answer to is how do the scrolls actually roll out after the seals are broken and how much of that stuff will happen in parallel? All right. So it is going to be this first, then that, but a lot of those events can happen in parallel. All right. So that makes it exceedingly difficult to get your arms around. You can't just like point to one single event and go, look, there it is. Okay, I think we're going to get broadsided. I think we're going to get hit hard and these things are going to accelerate. But again, I don't know. Because I'll share with you a little bit more about that in a second. I want to go to the next audio clip. Stand by. Here we go. Listen to this. This is amazing. It's Rand Paul, by the way. All right. Oh, wait. Hold on. Here. Oh, doggone web thing. Ah, Jiminy Crickets. All right, here we go.
War for over a decade. I'm glad it's finally over. But never in my worst nightmares could I have imagined that an administration would leave and leave $80 billion worth of weaponry to the Taliban. Dozens of planes and helicopters, thousands of armored carriers, hundreds of thousands of automatic weapons, and worst of all, 13 of our brave young men and women. Never in my worst nightmares did anyone or conceive of such a colossal incompetence. Abandoning Bagram Air Force Base will be remembered as one of the worst military decisions in our history. Holding no one accountable, having everyone circle the wagons and say, hey, we all agreed abandoning Bagram Air Force Base was a great idea. This is going to be remembered by the people. Holding no one accountable for letting the base go, it will be remembered. To add insult to injury, this week you've now released $64 million in aid to Afghanistan. Don't we have some prohibition against giving aid and comfort to the enemy? Now, the argument from the Biden administration is, oh, we're giving it to charities, and it's for the good of the people, for poor people, and for women. Well, the Taliban has a history of taking this. Throughout their governance, they would take the money. This was a big complaint we had when they were in power the last time. They now have $80 billion worth of weapons, 350,000 automatic weapons. Are we really naive enough to believe that we're just going to keep sending charity to Afghanistan and they're not going to interrupt it? I think that's a foolish notion. The $64 million, though, is the tip of the iceberg. There's still about $10 billion out there that was designated for the Afghan government. Can you pledge today without equivocation that the Biden administration will not release any of this money to the Taliban?
Absent the Taliban making good on the commitments and expectations of the international community that I've outlined previously, that's correct.
Maybe we could deduct a fee for the weapons they took.
So, Senator, on the weapons, again, I'll defer to my colleagues at the Pentagon who are more expert in this. You're right that about $80 billion worth of weaponry has been provided over the course of the last 15 or 16 years. Much of that, the significant weaponry, planes, helicopters, is actually inoperable, will soon become inoperable because it can't be maintained.
By the way, that's a lie, because the Taliban has formed an alliance with China. And where did China get all of their weaponry? From us. They stole it from us. Actually, it was shared. Illuminati at that level. So again, this is just a big pack of lies. But you know, coming from this Blinken entity, whatever he is, who knows? I don't know. But the point here is that, well, I'm going to let it go a little bit further because I want you to hear, hopefully I didn't miss it. You know, I had to I'm getting older, so I had to make a quick bio break. But anyway, I'm going to keep on playing this a little bit because I want you to get kind of like the punchline of it all. It's just awful. It's hard. It's unbelievable. Anyway, here we go.
In terms of the strategic threat that weaponry poses, it doesn't to us or to Afghanistan.
You can't say you're not going to give them the money. If they behave, you're going to give them the money. Why don't we subtract the $80 billion from the $10 billion you're going to give them? Then they're minus 70 still.
Why are they giving them $80 billion? What's up with
that? Behavior that they'll get more money, I think, is a big mistake and a naive notion that we're going to somehow change this Stone Age philosophy by giving them more of our money. We've sunk trillions of dollars over this. This is our chance to have a peace dividend. Let's quit sending good money after bad. The guy the Biden administration droned, was he an aid worker or an ISIS-K operative?
Listen to this.
The administration is, of course, reviewing that strike, and I'm sure that a full assessment will be forthcoming.
So you don't know if it was an aid worker or an ISIS-K operative?
I can't speak to that, and I can't speak to that in this setting in any event.
So you don't know or won't tell us?
I don't know because we're reviewing it.
Well, see, you'd think you'd kind of know before you off somebody with a Predator drone whether he's an aid worker or he's an ISIS-K. See, the thing is this isn't just you. It's been going on for administration after administration. The Obama administration droned hundreds and hundreds of people. And the thing is there is blowback to that. I mean, I don't know if it's true, but I see these pictures of these beautiful children that were killed in the attack. If that's true, and not propaganda, if that's true, guess what? Maybe you've created hundreds or thousands of new potential terrorists from bombing the wrong people. So you got to know who you – we can't sort of have an investigation after we kill people. We have an investigation before we kill people.
Now, okay. Anyway. So the next headline is Pentagon admits Afghan drone strike, a tragic mistake that killed 10 civilians, seven of which were children. Okay. This is going to be one of those shows that's going to be very hard for me to get through without bawling. I just don't have the constitution for this. Okay. Now, I want to share with you another thing. It's kind of flipping the coin, if you will, and moving on to another subject. And here we go. Hallelujah. Pacific Northwest Quarantine Strike Team. Got an email from Brother Chris, and he's on it. He's really on it. And he said, I tried to send this to you earlier, but I noticed it didn't go through for some reason, so I'm resending it. I heard a rumor that there is a job opening in my state of Washington for the position of, quote, isolation and quarantine strike team, which is to be located in a facility in Centralia, Washington. It didn't take me long to find and confirm this to be true, sending you the link and the state website. Pretty alarming. The job is supposed to be fulfilled after October the 12th. If I remember correctly, and everyone applying has to be fully jabbed. I don't know what they're planning next, but things seem to be ramping up. There seems to be no holding back anymore. If they really have, you know, the chutzpah and stuff to force people into these places, and he speculates a little bit, talks about Australia, correctly so. He just says, you know, I know your theory about 2024, but the way things are going right now, I'm not so sure we're going to get that far. And you know what? Neither am I anymore. Okay, so I got my crows handy. Hallelujah. And they're looking pretty yummy to me. Okay. Nobody's been wrong more than me. You know, this is like Bill Murray and I are just like totally on track here.
Hey, human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. That's hysteria.
So anyway, I responded back to him and I said, well, and by the way, he did show me the website, and the website does say it is, you know, I can, you know, here, I can actually open up the, hold on just a second, see if I can bring it up. It's not going to let me. Okay, that's all right. But yeah, it's a legitimate website for the purpose of hiring people to become, a quarantine strike team in a facility where they would, you know, put you. This is a lot more sinister. This is right up there with China. And they're, you know, locking people and bolting them into their homes. All right. So anyway, I responded back and I said, well, this is not a good sign for sure. Great job sending this to me. I have posted it on my Facebook page, which has over 4,000 people. And I will mention it on the show. The Walmart thing is also spooky because he goes on to mention that he goes, I don't know about your Walmarts, but I went into my Walmart and things are getting pretty sparse. And so I said, I have not been to my local Walmart. I'm delivery only right now, so I don't know, but I have heard no issues here in Tampa, Florida. I also monitor, and I do recommend it, an application on my phone called Nextdoor. The reason why I installed and monitor Nextdoor is I can see what my neighbors are talking about. Thus far, I have seen no complaints about Walmart or any availability issues in stores here. So he in Washington State is seeing his Walmart running dry. All right. Now, he goes on, and then I went on to say, so based on my 10 years of doing this stuff, this may be a preliminary setup. What I am saying is that I have published articles in the past 8 to 10 years ago that showed similar government FEMA camp setups as well, where they even published jobs for them entitled internment specialists. Internment specialists. That's some creepy stuff. I wrote very detailed articles about that. It's really creepy. When you start reading all their job titles and what, you know, and their job descriptions, oh my goodness. And I said, we already know through the Ceremony vision that some horrible, way worse than COVID diseases and viruses will be poured out on the world. And Fauci has actually been vocal about it on articles at the NIH. All right. I just discovered, listen very closely to what I'm about to say. I just learned this. Maybe I should have known it earlier. I don't know. But I just discovered that the National Institute of Health, which is Fauci's essentially in control of, is also in control of all doctors' licenses. Did you hear what I said? So the licenses of the doctors, which of course directly affects the pharmacies, are all controlled by essentially Fauci himself, which is not even human. This is bad. This is really bad. Goes on to say, and I told them that they can kill a doctor's license at will, which they did do. That the one doctor up in, and there's probably dozens and dozens of them. Anyway, it goes on. This is why the doctors and the pharmacies are afraid and allowing people to die. They probably know better, but they're afraid. And I thanked him for, you know, sending this to me. I said, I'm not sure if Obama / Biden are going to push this forward now, but I know they are afraid of Trump / Christians and are accelerating things seemingly to prevent 2024 from happening. But I have seen the darkness attempt to do this before, and our Father has stopped them or at least slowed them down. It appears our Father is trying very hard to wake up as many as he can, which would explain the constant apparent delays in the darkness executing their plans, which are pretty obvious. We've seen it coming one way or the other. Thank you so much. I said, the combination of the Walmart shelves plus this for your area is very telling. And I sent him the BitChute video of the man who was, walking through a Walmart parking lot and spotted, you know, they had it all cordoned off and big walls, and he snuck in and found all these big shipping containers that were converted. They had signs on them like, you know, test station this, wash your eyes here. You know, it was literally the kind of thing that you would expect to be set up if there was like a nuke attack or something like that, or worse, like, you know, well, there's nothing worse than that, I don't think. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about, something really, really horrific. And why are they in these Walmart parking lot? Why are they doing it? Why are they setting it up now? So then I ended the email. And I said to him, I have speculated that the darkness would use an underwater nuke to explode the Cascadia subduction zone in the past based on the movie A View to a Kill, which is a James Bond movie where this, you know, guy, essentially this evil character, you know, Zorro something, puts a nuke, you know, and intended to basically cause, you know, a massive earthquake, killing millions and all that. Underground. I believe they've already done it. I believe they've already planted a nuke. It's strategically planted in the Cascadia subduction zone, and that they, the darkness, will be the ones who cause it to happen. It won't be a natural event. I don't think it will. Anyway, so I'm sticking to that one for sure. All right, it goes on, and I said, and then we had a precious saint come on the show. Her name is Linda, and the Lord showed her one thing, and that one thing was that the next major event, the next really big, major, cataclysmic, catastrophic, whatever you want to call it, end times event, was going to be the Cascadia subduction zone, mega tsunami, mega quake in the Pacific Northwest. Okay. So anyway, that's all this together rolled into a big old, I don't know what you want to call it, analysis ball. It's troubling. It's troubling. Something creepy is going on in the Pacific Northwest right now, and a lot of people don't realize it. All right. Well, if that isn't bad enough, I've got to play this for you, and I'm going to. This one put me into tears. It kind of messed up my whole day, actually. Almost wish that I didn't listen to it. This, believe it or not, is the live. I didn't know that they did the hearings public, or at least that you could get a hold of them. I had no idea. So anyway, you were about to hear, what you were about to hear are the first three FDA, Food and Drug Administration experts that were called. to testify before the committee that is supposed to be in control of whether or not they're going to release COVID booster shots. And oh, and by the way, please be advised, this does not include the Johnson & Johnson. It doesn't include, they're not talking about the AstraZeneca, although they kind of dorked up the AstraZeneca one a little bit because it did have more side effects than it should have had. You know, they were all the blood clot related stuff, but whatever. I don't want to get sidetracked on it. The point is, this is all about the mRNA. This is all about Pfizer, Moderna, BioNTech, mRNA stuff, okay? It's very important that I get this out because I constantly get communications from people going, why are you saying this? And da, da, da. You know, it's like, I can't emphasize enough. This is about the mRNA only. Okay. These are experts that were called before the FDA to speak as experts in the field about what they are seeing in the raw numbers, which they, as analysts, statisticians, and experts in the industry, have validated. This is no more speculation anymore. This is validated. Okay? And when I heard it, I just started to bawl like a baby. Anyway, I'm going to play it for you. Here you go. Let's see if I can get it. All right.
Thank you, Dr. Monto. Please see our written comments. Next slide, B. For our disclosures, and next slide, slide C. With this Lancet paper by FDA vaccine officials, we find ourselves agreeing with them, but for different reasons. We have an unclear need with unclear motivation, significant safety concerns, poor evidence of sustained booster efficacy, and wrong priorities. So while FDA and Pfizer can't agree about waning efficacy, let's go to next slide, D. We saw recently CDC's apparent withholding of key data from ACIP prior to recommending the Pfizer vaccine and revealing that the primary driver for approving Comirnaty was to overcome hesitancy through regulatory misdirection. We agree with others that this has become politicized. Next slide, E. Pfizer's booster evidence today is weak. They are small studies in mostly younger subjects. They are short-term. There is no randomized control. There are no clinical outcome data, only serology. Inadequate safety given this is a gene therapy product. Where are the data from the 10,000 patient study? Next slide, F. If FDA cannot assure us of the safety of two doses, how can they assure us of three? We see strong signals for death, myocardial infarction, and coagulopathy that need transparent investigation. Next slide, G. We find three potential pools of vaccine-associated deaths. Note the second pool among vaccinees. Next slide, H. Daily cases in Israel increase upon booster rollout compared with the same period last year. Please note the correct rollout is July the 1st of the 130 number. The Israel booster presented today has matching censoring bias seen in related studies, non-comparable populations, possible clustering bias, inadequate accounting for early vaccine effects, and a short follow-up in mainly older people. Next slide, I. Others show unexplained Israeli deaths lockstepping with booster rollout. This looks like the second pool deaths we said before in vaccinees rejected by New England Journal of Medicine in February. Next slide, J. Other safety concerns not voiced in the label are revealed in studies funded offline by NIH for menstrual disorders. Next slide, K. And offline by CDC in a disturbing revelation of an urgent need to monitor safety in pregnancy. Put this in the label. Next slide, L. Long-term safety, no cancer studies were performed. Moderna said its vaccine was a gene therapy product. Why is the FDA not requiring 5 to 15-year cancer and other studies per their gene therapy guidance? Next slide, M. We propose the term PCOVs to describe the wide spectrum of events being reported. Next slide, N. We are running out of options. Vaccine hesitancy won't be solved by bullying or coercion. Address safety. Show convincing booster efficacy. Revisit repurposed drugs. Next slide, O. We reverse the findings of flawed landmark studies that have misguided policy. Journals refuse to correct these defects, and Dr. Rubin's seat on this committee is a conflict. Next slide, P. This is what has to be done. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next speaker is Mr. Kermit Kubitz.
Hello. My name...
All right. And there is, hold on just a second. I want to pull something else up here because there was a little bit more that I failed to capture and I wanted to. And let me play that. Hold on.
Booster, broad use, at least until such a strategy is developed. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Dr. Levy. The next speaker is Dr. Joseph Raymond.
Hello. Please, if you can go to my first slide. Hello, my name is Dr. Joseph Raymond, no conflicts to declare. I'm an emergency physician educated at Cornell Medical School. My residency was Charity Hospital in New Orleans, and I've been working in this region since. Where I work, over 65% of the population are not vaccinated. I'm here today to ask for help for those working the front line to help us reduce vaccine hesitancy. For this, we need larger trials that demonstrate the vaccine reduced hospitalization without finding evidence of serious harm. I know many think the vaccine hesitants are dumb or just misinformed. That's not at all what I've seen. In fact, typically, independent of education level, the vaccine hesitants I've met in the ER are more familiar with vaccine studies and more aware of their own COVID risk than the vaccinated. Next slide, please.
Did you hear that?
Many of my nurses have refused the vaccine, despite having seen COVID-19 cause more death and devastation than most people have. I ask them, why refuse the vaccine? They tell me while they've seen the firsthand dangers of COVID in the elderly, the obese, diabetics, they think their risk is low. They're not wrong. Next slide, please. One nurse showed me this Oxford risk calculator. A 30-year-old female has about a 1 in 7,000 chance of catching COVID and being hospitalized over 90 days. She asked me, can I assure her that the studies found her risk of serious harm from the vaccine is lower than her risk of hospitalization? The truth is I can. Our trials weren't big enough. They weren't big enough to identify the vaccines cause myocarditis, yet now we know they do. Next slide, please. A recent observational study suggests the risk of vaccine-induced myocarditis in young males is higher than their risk of hospitalization from COVID. Is this true? We don't know. It's based on observational data. To know it's not true, we need a large trial that proves the vaccines reduce hospitalization more than they cause myocarditis in this age group. Next slide, please. Former FDA commissioner said the original premise of the vaccine was to reduce death and hospitalizations, and that was the data that came out of the initial clinical trials. Except, as you all know very well, and unfortunately, so did my nurse, the initial clinical trials did not find a reduction in death or hospitalization, likely because they were inadequately powered. Yet the former commissioner is correct that the initial trials should have been powered to find a reduction in hospitalization. Next slide, please. We need your help on the front lines to stop vaccine hesitancy. Demand the booster trials are large enough to find a reduction in hospitalization. Without this data, we, the medical establishment, cannot confidently call out anti-COVID vaccine activists who publicly claim the vaccines harm more than they save, especially in the young and healthy. The fact that we do not have the clinical evidence to say these activists are wrong should terrify us all. Thank you. Next slide.
Now, if I played the whole thing, which I don't have time, if I played the whole thing, you would basically, so here's the moral of the story. When you hear all of the testimonies of the doctors, the conclusion is that for every, this is what they're saying. Now, this is what these experts are saying. For every one life, now see, they still believe that they're saving lives with it. I don't believe that at all. And actually, one of them implies that that is absolutely not the case. And he brings up Israel as his example, which he's right. But the final conclusion is that for every one life that they save, two people die. And one of them even brought up the fact that he had a person under his care of the age of 12, and she is paralyzed for life. Now, that's only one example of probably unbelievable number, tens of thousands of people. All you have to do is pull the VAERS database information. I've already done that. It's just that it's a little bit hard to – you've got to be really good with Microsoft Excel to be able to pull – statistical numbers out of it like these experts did. And when I heard the whole series of testimonies, I played several of them as you heard, it's devastating. It's really horrible. So, okay, so now I'm going to go on. This is where it gets worse. That is, if there was any way it could get worse, it's going to get worse. Get ready for worse. Here we go. The FDA advisory panel votes against vaccine booster shots for all and approves for only over 65s and higher risk, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. Oh, it gets better. Next one. The Epic Times reports, and this is, the NIH director, Mr. Collins, believes the Pfizer booster shots will be expanded despite the FDA panel recommendation. Did you hear that? Yeah, it's pretty creepy stuff. Next one up. Epic Times reports the shape-shifting reptilian Fauci, I'm sorry, I added that part, officials will decide on COVID-19 vaccine recommendations for children age 5 through 11 soon. Did you hear that? All this stuff is about the mRNA, all of it. They don't even mention Johnson & Johnson. They don't want anybody to even know it exists. They're pushing the deadly stuff. All right, goes on to say, Biden will hold global COVID summit focused on bringing higher levels of ambition to pushing the vaccines. Don't forget, vaccine internment camps. Are you seeing where it's heading? Now listen to this. Interesting headline. India's state of 241 million people declared COVID-free after the government promotes the use of ivermectin for early treatment. Looky there. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And I can go on and on. You got the border situation that is absolutely out of control. That's a big news for everybody. More stuff going on at the Kabul airport. They're claiming that they've rescued some more people. I don't know how much of that nonsense I believe, especially given the stuff that we heard from Glenn Beck earlier. It just goes on and on and on. I've got a lot of these headlines. I'm going to roll them forward. I'm going to cover some of the animal kills that have been going through the roof. We also want to be aware. Now we know that the Sarah Minet testified that the Lord showed her that the La Palma Canary Islands mountainside that they believe could collapse and cause a mega tsunami, which of course it could very well. Well, it does. As a matter of fact, Sarah Minet was shown that. She just didn't mention it. That's what's so beautiful about her testimony when you bring her on the radio show live. And I praise God that I have that and it's available for people to listen to. But she saw that. But it was associated with the meteor strike off the coast of Puerto Rico, which is what causes the global earthquake, the great earthquake in Revelation 6, verse 12, and jettisons the world into, the day of the Lord, ultimately. So she said that actually occurs, at the time the meteor hits. So it's actually a double mega tsunami that hits. But here's the thing. What we don't know is what we don't know. You don't know what you don't know. And right now, there's lava flows coming down out of a volcano on La Palma. And it is La Palma, not Las Palmas. I always think it's Las Palmas, but it's not. It's La Palma, Canary Islands. That is the, mega tsunami. This is something that's been studied by geologists for like a zillion years, and they're watching it. They're like, oh my goodness, this could be terrible. There's so much information, volcano blows on Spain's Canary Islands. It's actually showing the lava flows heading for a town. So could there be an event? Because, I reflect back to the Jonathan Kleck $10 bill prophecy, I'll just call it that, where he had seen and saw on the $10 bill when the Lord led him with his gift as a seer to fold the dollar bill a certain way. And sure enough, it had, but then that also kind of looked like it was, the water that was, kind of flying over the top of the building there in New York, it kind of did look like it was a nuclear thing. And we know that the Russians and the Chinese have nuclear torpedoes. So they're able to launch a, you know, they can be way, way, way out in the water and launch a long-range nuclear torpedo, and then it blows up, you know, like a mile off the shore, and this massive, man-made tsunami washes up over New York City. So is that going to happen? I don't know. Is something going to happen with the La Palma? I don't know. I mean, the thing is, the Lord tends to show us the really big things, but unfortunately we always know the order, and we don't, you know, and time, forget about time, timing, you know, there's just no way to tell the time. You know, there isn't any way to tell the time. This stuff could drag on for a long time yet. And yes, there is a big list of things that we've been talking about on this show that were prophesied. And I stopped collecting that list around about 2015 when things started to get a little bit squirrely with the prophecies. They weren't lining up. The people were prophesying different things, and you had a lot of the Seven Mountains people coming out and saying they were talking to Jesus over, you know, scrambled eggs or whatever, and that Trump was going to be back in the office of the presidency. Well, none of that stuff came true. I have lists and lists, because, you know, my sister sends them to me. She won't give up. She still thinks, you know, the whole QAnon and Trump's going to be back in the office any moment now, which, of course, I don't know. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? All right. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And I could go on and on and on, but none of the subsequent headlines are nearly as important as the ones that I just shared with you through the audio bites. Praise God. So on that note, let's go ahead and bring on Sister Terry Hill. Thank you, Jesus. And she will have a full hour, to share her message. Praise Jesus. And let's go. Sister Terry, are you there?
John, I'm here. Can you hear me all right?
You sound great. You really do. Very loud, very clear.
Very good.
Yep. Praise God.
Thanks for having me on.
It's all yours. We're thrilled, believe me. And the microphone is yours. I'm going to step back. I know you have a big message, and I don't want to interrupt any more of your time. I know we ran a little, we had that conversation. Thank you so much. God bless you, and it's all yours. Thank you. God bless you.
Well, thank you, John. And you didn't interrupt me. You covered what's going on in the world that we live in. And let's just start in prayer. I would like to do that. Father, I thank you for this time that you've given. I thank you that Jesus is our good shepherd. I thank you that I can even remember now what he said, "Fear not, little flock, for I am with you until the end of the age." Father, thank you for the encouragement that we see all through the Word of God. I thank you that you know where we are walking, you know what we are facing, and you are not caught by surprise with anything that we are walking through. And we take comfort in that, Father, and I pray that you would say exactly what needs to be said. I yield and I surrender to whatever it is my Father would say. And I thank you for building up and edifying and strengthening your people tonight, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, loved ones, I am so thankful that nothing catches the Lord by surprise. He has written in his book for us what to look for as we approach the very end of the age, which is certainly where we are at. And creation is groaning. It is in travail. All of the earth is groaning in travail, waiting for God's sons to be manifested. We are indeed in the beginning of the time of sorrows that the Word of God talks about. Tonight I would like to just pick up and talk a little bit about discerning the voices. We talked about this a couple of months ago, and I'd like to talk to you about that tonight. And I also have the liberty to share with you two dreams that I've had. And I do have to pray about that, because I very seldom share dreams online, but I believe it lines up with the message that the Lord has given me. And I believe it just sort of indicates where we are. And so I'm going to tell you about what I saw. I want to talk to you specifically tonight about the serpent's voice and its influence. Again, this is not a topic that I would have chosen, but I was deeply impressed by the Lord to do so. Had started writing this several weeks ago and had a dream a week before last that I would like to share with you. Because what I saw is kind of descriptive of what I'm hearing with people that I'm in touch with. And so I want to tell you what I saw. In the dream, I saw a snake, and I've had, unfortunately, these snake dreams before, but the Lord has taught me through these things. Sometimes they are things I just need to know for my own information, but I did feel that I have the liberty to share this with you. So what I saw week before last in a dream that I had, I saw a snake. I was watching. I was an observer in a place where I could see behind me, above me, to the right, to the left, all around me. And what I saw was this snake, and this snake was like lightning. It moved so quickly in every direction. And as an observer, it was almost as though I would barely catch my breath, and understanding and knowing that this thing was very active, and as soon as I had a few moments to pause, that thing would hit and strike from another direction. So I saw this snake. Again, it was moving like lightning. That's the best way I can describe it, and was attacking in every direction possible. And in the dream, I was startled. I was not fearful, but I was startled because I could see that it was coming from every direction, and it felt almost like I was off guard, but I would regain my composure, and then it would strike and hit again from another direction. Now, I also saw that the snake's venom had soiled two things in the dream. I saw specifically where it had bitten and left its venom, and I want to talk to you a little bit about what the Lord showed me about this venom. Saw that it had specifically soiled two things in the dream that I saw. And I saw the venom on two different white coverings. On one covering, I knew it was the linen on a bed. So if you can imagine a bed with white sheets or something white and pure, okay, I looked on that and I could see that there was venom on the bed. And then I also saw a picture of venom on a white tablecloth. So I saw this venom, and I knew, I said to myself in the dream, I can see where this serpent has attacked and left its mark, because I saw venom on a bed and on a table. Now, let me explain what I believe the Lord showed me. In Scripture, the term bed generally speaks of a place of a rest or of intimacy. For example, in the book of Song of Solomon, the bride and the bridegroom have their bed. And so it's a picture of marital love and faithfulness, or the purity of a marriage relationship, okay? So when I saw this venom on the bed, I thought, spiritual adultery. There's something here that's been left. It's left its mark. And so I'll share a little bit more on that with you in a minute. I want to talk now about the white tablecloth on a table, because I saw that venom had been distributed, or it had soiled the tablecloth that was also white. Now, in Scripture, the table is also often symbolic of fellowship, of communion, and of eating. It's a place where you sit down, you recline, and you eat. But I saw that the venom was there. I saw this snake venom on the bed, and I saw snake venom on a table with a white tablecloth. And I realized, because of the message I had been writing for weeks, that this dream that I'd had was actually confirmation of what the Lord was showing me. And if you would like the show notes, you can actually email me, and I'm happy to send those to you. You can email me at awordindueseason777@gmail.com. www.thebeautifulmind.com, and I also welcome your prayer requests. Now, on the table, again, the table being a place of fellowship, communion, where people eat and reside and they talk together, I saw that this venom had actually contaminated the food on the table and it was poisoned. And I saw that the table was a place where food is consumed, and now the food was toxic. And the Lord reminded me of the message that I have been studying and preparing, because he had given me instruction, and I've actually ministered in two different places now. This will be my third time, about the voice of religious error and heresy that has entered the church, and also the serpent's voice and his influence. Now, I'm going to tell you about one more dream also that I believe coincides and actually is another facet of the serpent, because Scripture tells us in Revelation 20, verse 2, that the serpent has influence and a voice, and it's also called the dragon, the devil, and Satan, okay? So this other dream that I've had, and this is a recurring dream. I've had this at least four or five times. And what I saw in a dragon dream was I saw a very large dragon-like creature that was looked like it was hunting for people. People were fearful in the dream. In the dream, I was feeling the fear that the people were fearing. And I saw that some were terrified, and the people actually in this dream, as this dragon was everywhere, and it was huge in size, it was looking, people were looking for places to hide from this dragon. And what I realized and saw that with myself, I saw that people were hidden from the dragon. And I'm in the dream, I'm thinking this must be God's people, because this dragon could not see the people. They were hidden in a place. He could not see them, and he could not find them. And what I'm understanding more and more now is that, first of all, the serpent, in the dream that I shared with you about the serpent points to Satan, the seducer. And we see this originally in Genesis chapter 3, when we see that Eve, the woman, was beguiled. Okay, she was completely deceived by the serpent. She was seduced. And the dragon points to Satan, the persecutor. So in the snake dream, I believe the Holy Spirit was showing me the seduction that is into those who are in relationship with Christ. This is a covenant relationship symbolized by the bed, and also the food and the table and what is sitting on the tables of many places and what I would call Christendom, and the food in many places being defiled, because I saw that the venom was there. And so I want to talk a little bit more now about the serpent's voice and influence. And I want to read to you a scripture to begin, because often when I'm preparing for meetings, I'll ask the Lord, Father, if I've missed anything, please wake me up. If I've not seen it in the Word, or if there's something in a dream, please speak to me. I try to prepare myself, and I've asked him to speak with me and communicate in a way that the people could understand and it would be clear to me. So I want to take you to a scripture. I woke up in the middle of the night, and this scripture was in my thinking and in my mind. So I want to read to you from Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, starting at verse 17. And it says, "And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he, Jesus, said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning." Now, in my dream, it was like this snake was like lightning. I'm telling you, it moved so fast. It was like a flash, flash, flash. So the Lord brought me into the scripture and showed me this. Verse 19, Jesus says, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall injure you." I want to read that again because I believe we need to hear it. Jesus said, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall injure you." Verse 20, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. Beloved, if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to know that your name is recorded in heaven. Hallelujah. Verse 21, at that time, Jesus rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit. He said, I praise thee, O Father, Lord God of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent, and you've revealed them to babes. All right, verse 22, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Verse 23, and turning to the disciples, he said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I say unto you that many prophets and kings wished to see the things which you see and didn't see them, and to hear the things which you hear and didn't hear them. Now, I want to read to you the scripture that was in my head when I woke up just a few nights ago. Listen to this. A lawyer stood up and put Jesus to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, what's written in the law? How does it read to you? And this is the scripture that I heard when I got up. He answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I shared this with you because after I had the dream the week before last, I was impressed by the Holy Spirit to go and do a study on what that poisonous toxin, the snake venom, looks like and what it does. And this is what I found. This is what I found through the research that I did. I found that, as we know, a serpent injects poison or venom into a victim through a bite. Okay, so three types of venom, which are produced by different snakes, are known to cause the following. Now, we're talking about something in the natural that happens, but you and I all understand that the serpent has spiritual, literal, and symbolic applications in Scripture. So there are layers of truth in God's Word. So let me describe to you what I found. There are three types of venom that have literal and spiritual applications. All right, the first kind of venom is called hemotoxic venom, and this venom assaults the cardiovascular system, and it can damage the heart of a person, okay? So notice, this particular venom can damage the heart. Number two, the second type is called cytotoxic venom, and this venom targets the muscles in the body, so it attacks the person's strength. Thirdly, the last kind of venom that I found is called neurotoxic venom, and this venom affects the brain, in other words, person's mind and nervous system. Now, in the middle of the night, the day after I had studied this, I heard that scripture again. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy strength, all thy mind. And I said, oh my goodness, the Lord said, are you getting this? I heard him ask me, you're getting this, right? I saw what the venom of the enemy was specifically attacking, was to hinder God's people from walking before the Lord with all their heart, with all their strength, and with all their mind. Okay? So what he began to show me was specifically where we are right now. And if we're talking about a condition of the heart, we're talking about things that perhaps, as we read in God's Word where it says men's hearts will fail them for fear, we can understand that Jesus would never ask us to do something if we were not able to do it. So that tells me that the enemy is working very, very hard to assault our thought life. And by the way, none of us should ever apologize for being human. God has made us body, soul, and spirit.
Steve Perry on Amazon okay? Music.
Hold on. I have a computer meltdown. Hold on.
I...
Well, that wasn't the devil trying to interrupt something. That was completely, never has happened before on any radio show. Sorry about the interruption, Terry. Go on. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Can you hear me, John? Okay. Awesome.
We hear you beautifully. My computer just decided that something that you said made it want to play a song. So I apologize. I am so sorry. Please go on.
Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're all overcoming. That's okay. We're dealing with these little interferences. Anyway, Luke 10:27, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your strength, and all your mind. And I said, yes, Lord, I'm getting it. You're showing me that what's happening in the lives of your people now is to try to prevent them and assault them from every direction to keep them from walking in that place of safety before the Lord. Now, one of the things that I kind of want to just talk about just for a minute is that the serpent has a voice, as I said earlier, and he makes his appeal and he directs his appeal to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's what he did with Eve, the woman who was beguiled. She saw that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and its fruit. She believed, because the serpent tricked her, that it would be good for food, pleasant to the eyes, and to make one wise. And so if we understand that the serpent moves through the carnal mind, the mind that is not being renewed, it moves among the thinking, the mindset of those who are unregenerate. And one of the things that we know, and I want to suggest again, if you need prayer, please, please get in touch with me. Brother Johnny's happy to pray. We need to be praying for one another. And another thing, beloved, we have to know when to turn off the news. We have to know when to put things down and just get into the Word, meditate on the Word, and set our mind on things above and heavenly things. Now, we have to walk this challenge, okay, of trying to live a normal everyday life by doing what we have to do, taking care of our family, taking care of our spouse, going to work, just household things that we go through. So it's a balancing act. But what I'm sharing with you is we have to redeem the time. And because I am seeing and more fully understanding how the enemy is assaulting the thought life of God's people, also hitting them physically, also in their finances and in relationships and outside influences at work, among relatives. I mean, it's coming from every direction. So we're going to have to ask the Lord to help us to know when to turn off the bad news, because, beloved, it is bad news out there. It's getting darker. But the good news is that Jesus is coming. The good news is that he gives grace for us to overcome. And according to the book of Revelation, we all know, those of us that have read the second and third chapters, there were rewards and promises given to the one who overcomes. So here's the thing. We are given opportunities to overcome. And depending on your life and what you're walking through, what I'm walking through, the enemy will try very hard with accusation and betrayal and, yes, fear. He's trying to literally knock that helmet of salvation off of our head and to get us to think on and focus on the world that we live in, to focus on what's wrong, what's unjust, what's not fair, corrupt. And believe me, we know the governing powers of nations and the globalists have been given over to a reprobate mind. We know that the world that we live in, he is the prince of the power of the air. We know that. He is the spirit of the world. He is presently God and prince. But I got good news for you. We need to remind ourselves, okay, you may be under assault, beloved, and under attack, but you're also under the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's not forget that. And that blood is speaking over you. And the blood of Jesus Christ has a voice, all right? We're told from Leviticus that, and we're finding out, also in the book of Genesis, that the righteous blood of Abel was crying out to God. So we know that innocent blood has a voice, and the blood of the Lamb is speaking over God's people. Remember that the enemy, the serpent, Satan, the devil, the dragon, has already been judged. God told us that in John's gospel. He's already been bruised, and he is consigned to hell. So in the meantime, he's utilizing fear. He attempts to seduce and deceive men by appealing to and working through his emotions. So John was talking earlier about, those who are, I believe, who have strong gifts of mercy. I believe that's what it is. People who have strong gifts of mercy and compassion, I think, are hit even harder. But this is where the enemy works. He assaults our emotions, and he uses our sensory knowledge, right? Through the five senses, he tries to get us to focus on what we see, okay, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, and what we touch, all right? So, and the appetites of the flesh. This is the realm that he moves in, okay? It's through the physical realm. But the scripture tells us those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So the enemy is working hard to dislodge us from that place, because Jesus said we can walk in this place. We can love the Lord our God with all our heart. We can love the Lord our God with all our strength, and we can love the Lord our God with all our mind, because that's what will keep us not only sane, but it'll keep us and help us to overcome. Here's the thing. But when I saw this picture of the venom on the table, I knew that the food had been contaminated. And again, the voice of religious error and heresy finds its source in the serpent, who is called a murderer and a liar from the beginning. So we know that lies that are being taught, false messages that are coming out, false teachers, people who call themselves apostles or prophets, but the words are false, false, false. The problem is, I've seen a diversion here. I've seen the distraction where some are really running hard after the ministries. They're running after the words. They're running after signs and wonders. They're running after a movement. They're running after a denomination, and they're fixated on that. Now, we glean from the ministries. That is correct. But the problem is, the voice of heresy is so strong now, and we live in a time of moral breakdown. We all know that. We live in a time of spiritual seduction. We live in a time of increasing persecution, and it's absolutely essential that we're hearing from the Lord where and who we are to glean from. Now, John's Gospel, chapter 10, let me just comment on that, and you can go back and take a look at it later. In John's Gospel, in the 10th chapter, Jesus talks about three different kinds of shepherds, or leaders, if you will, okay? There are three different groups. Number one, there are good shepherds, and he introduces himself as the good shepherd. He said, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. And he says, I'm the way and the truth and the life. And the sheep find pasture, and they come and they go and they find pasture. So a good shepherd, okay, is going to be watchful and watching over the sheep. A good shepherd is going to be safeguarding the church and protecting and defending the people of God. A good shepherd is going to safeguard the truth. They're going to protect and defend the truth. And there are ministries the Lord has raised up, and they are defenders of the faith, and they have wonderful gifts and abilities to communicate out of the Word of God. And so we need to be asking, Lord, who am I to listen to? Who am I to glean from? Because, beloved, if we're not being fed the Word of God, if we're not being encouraged, built up and strengthened and edified, if the Word of God is not being, if the bread is not being broken and dispersed to the sheep, then the sheep are going to be so discouraged and so depressed. We must understand, hardship and tribulation is a part of this life. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So if we can understand that we're going to have to walk through this, but God has equipped us. God has gifted us. He has anointed us. He's empowered us with his Holy Spirit then we can and we will get through this. Now, the second kind of shepherd or leader that Jesus addresses in John's Gospel chapter 10 were the wolves, okay? And he describes that in verse 12 of John's Gospel chapter 10. So we have a good shepherd, of which the Lord Jesus is the good shepherd, and he has under shepherds who lay down their lives for the sheep. He has under shepherds who desire to feed the sheep and to protect them and to pray over them and to stand in the gap for them and to watch for their care. But there are also wolves, and we know this. Now, I'm mentioning this because Ezekiel 34 talks about there are those that fleece the sheep. It's happening now, and it happened hundreds and even thousands of years ago. There are wolves who devour the sheep. The third kind of leader or shepherd that Jesus talks about in John's gospel is the hireling, okay? So a hireling is someone that just does what they do for a paycheck. It's their job. It's their business. It's about money. It's about prestige. It's about what they can get out of the job that they do. They count their numbers, and it's a career. It's the hireling runs when the wolf comes. So, again, we have to be so careful what we're listening to. We must understand that Jesus, the good shepherd, will feed us. And one of the frustrations that my husband and I have had through the years and others that I talk to is, well, where do I go to get fed? Where can I find the meat of the word? Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of my Father and to finish his work. So if we need to be fed on meat, which we do, now we all start with the milk, right? The milk of the word, the sincere milk of the word, the foundational doctrines. Where do we go and how do we get this kind of food? And I would tell you that the Lord will connect you. He will show you what ministries to glean from. I will tell you that there are some out there that are doing a wonderful job. And again, none are perfect. But seek the Lord, and I also would like to recommend Moriel Ministries with Brother Jacob Prash, and there are men acquainted with his ministry as well. They're authors, and they are really rightfully dividing the Word of God. Now, these men, like any other men, are not perfect, but we have really been fed through their ministries and others as well. But I just wanted to share that if we need to be fed and we need to understand what the word talks about and who we are in Christ, again, because the enemy is working really hard to assault. He's working really hard to conform men to the image of this world. And there's images that are projected. And again, when we talk about shepherds, when we're talking about leaders, Jesus has addressed this also in Deuteronomy chapter 13. Now, I don't want to take the time to read all of it. You can go back and read Deuteronomy 13, but let me tell you what it talks about. In Deuteronomy 13, verses 1 to 5, the Lord addresses false religious influences. In fact, he said if there's a messenger that comes to you or a dreamer of dreams or if they perform a sign and a wonder, but if they teach you to go after another god. In other words, if they introduce a false doctrine or false teaching or heresy, the Lord says you are to reject that. And then in verses 6 to 11 of Deuteronomy 13, he talks about false social influences. Now, we know in the world in which we live that it's full of lies, it's full of deceit. There is some truth, but there's also speculation and there's opinions of men. In verses 12 and 18 of Deuteronomy 13, he talks about group influences, okay? And so the Lord goes step by step through that chapter, and he said if they're false, if they are introducing false teaching, false words, false counsel, and he goes on and on and on, he says you are to reject it. And Deuteronomy 13 also shows us in the first few opening verses that the test now, will not be that there are legitimate signs and wonders, because there are lying signs and wonders. The test now, beloved, is that are they giving you the truth? Are they delivering the gospel that was once delivered to the saints? Are they rightfully dividing the word of truth? Are they lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ? Okay, so the answer that God gives is, he said, if they are false, is to stone them. Now, under the new covenant, we're going to stone them with the rocks of the word is what we're going to do. We're going to put the word out there, and we're going to bring correction through the word. And then he said, you are to smite them with the edge of the sword. Now, the sword is the word of God. That's Hebrews 4:12, right? And he says, you are to burn them with fire. Jeremiah 23, verse 29 talks about the fire. He said, is not my word like a fire? Is it not like a hammer that breaks in pieces the rocks of resistance? So there's an answer here. Now, I want to talk to you just for a minute. Also, since we've talked about the venom of a snake, we need to understand that one of the things the Lord said we really have to watch out for, you can see somebody that maybe has wonderful abilities, or they seem to have gifts operating, or it seems that there is everything that you look at seems legitimate, but the Lord said, watch out if you see pride beginning to surface. We must understand that the voice of the serpent is conceited, okay? It has a sense of superiority. It has an inflated ego, and it projects self-importance, and it boasts of its intellect. So if you see pride, maybe you step into a service somewhere, or you're listening to something, or you're trying to discern, is this message from the Lord? Is this teaching from the Lord? Know that the enemy himself and the serpent desires to be enthroned. You can read about that in Isaiah 14, 13 to 14. The voice of the serpent appeals to the pride of man, okay? So the one who desires to have attention and recognition above others, or who desires to be enthroned or become an object of worship, watch out, okay? Because the voice of the serpent receives worship, but only the Lord God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ alone, is King and Lord. And also, when a hedge, okay, when we're talking about walls or hedges here, Ecclesiastes 10:8 says that if a hedge is broken, a serpent can enter in through holes and gaps and bite a man. But true watchmen, and I know there are some listening tonight, true watchmen who stand in the gap, true shepherds, will intercede. So walls in our lives need repair and need to be rebuilt. And that happens through prayer. That happens through discipleship and through the study of the word. And it also happens through being accountable to one another. Beloved, we learn from one another. Iron sharpens iron. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 8, Ezekiel saw the abominable creeping things that had crept into God's house, and they actually had entered in through a hole in the wall. And Ephesians 4:27 tells us we're to give no place to the devil. So how do we do that, okay? If there are broken places in, let's say, in a marriage, all right, husbands and wives, there's broken places. Again, I'm grateful to the Lord for things I've learned after 46 years of marriage. A good marriage just does not happen. You have to work at it. We lay our lives down. Husbands and wives, listen, if you have a spouse that is not walking with the Lord, if you have a spouse that perhaps is not saved, or a spouse who's very weak in the faith, wives, let me just give you some advice. Please don't preach at him. Just love him and serve him, okay? Children in the home that are unruly, perhaps there's brokenness in the unity in not only a marriage, but among siblings, and parental relationships or things going on in the home. It's important not to allow those children to direct you or manipulate you, because children will want to have their own way. And parents, again, we can't be friends to our children when they're little. That happens when we get older. We're going to have to make tough choices. And as for every husband who is ahead of his wife, God will hold him responsible. So to, I'm speaking to the men tonight, God holds you responsible for what goes on in your home. Well, you might say, well, Sister Terry, I don't have a husband who prays. I don't have a head. Let me just tell you, first of all, if you are alone, the Lord Jesus Christ is your spouse. He is your covering. But we need to understand the enemy would try to smash and break apart and bring disunity into every household. God ordained marriage. He ordained a man and a woman and a children to be raised in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and he's working really hard to divide families. So having said that, what we just need to do is just when we see something that a family member does right, a spouse does right, just praise them, thank them, for the good hard work that they do, for what a good daddy he is, or what a good mom you are, or thank you for the meal that you cook. We must praise when we see an opportunity to honor our spouse. We need to do that. And with children again and rebellion in the home, we need to understand the spirit. The scripture also says rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. We get that. We know that. And we know that occultism has entered into churchianity. We know that it's in the environment in which we live. We know that the accuser works really hard. And I just need to say this. Beloved, you need to forgive yourself of mistakes and sins from your past. If you have repented, if it's under the blood, if that enemy tries to bring that up, if he tries to assault your thought life with your sins from the past, you just rebuke that thing and cast that thing down and don't give him the time of day, okay? We need to keep our mind focused. God says you're redeemed, all right? The blood of Jesus Christ speaks over you. So when he comes and tries to accuse you or condemn you, okay, or if he tries to speak falsely and publicly against you, all right, that's what the enemy does. He accuses the righteous. And in the days to come, we're going to see more betrayal going on. The enemy will try to incite accusation and betrayal among family members. We saw this with Absalom and David, and we saw how the counsel of Ahithophel came in, who means, his name means brother of folly. He lined himself up with Absalom and tried to take the throne, usurp the throne from David. Now, David went through a lot in his own family. I mean, he really went through it. But betrayal is something Jesus said we're going to see at the end of the age. He said there will be betrayal among family members. There will be betrayal among friends. And we have to guard and pray for one another. And the voice of fear is paralyzing, okay? So if you're dealing with the spirit of fear and perhaps panic attacks, anxiety attacks, and if you feel that you're losing your breath, and I've known people that have suffered this, please get into agreement with a brother and sister in Christ that you can trust and take authority over that thing. Jesus is fortifying and strengthening us for the days that are coming, okay? So any test and trial that you are going through, when the enemy tries to whisper in your ear or if he's tried to break apart any good thing that God has given, remember, he is the one whose purpose is to kill, steal, and to destroy, all right? So this carnal mindset and the mind that is not renewed, okay, is actually hostile toward God. So the enemy will try to get you to focus back on what you see with your natural eyes, hear with your natural ears, what you can taste and touch and smell. And the scripture actually says those who walk according to the flesh cannot please God. So we have to work really hard to stay in the Word of God, to meditate on God's Word, and to pick up the phone and call someone, send off an email, send off a text. We are here to pray for one another. One of the things also concerning the spirit of fear, and Lord showed me that it can paralyze an individual. So if you are being tormented with fear, if the enemy, like in this dream that I saw where this dragon was literally causing almost a paralysis in the fear of the people, he was trying to hunt them down, I saw that in the dream that those who were in Christ were in a secret place, and though I could see a dragon, I saw them hidden, and the enemy could not see them, and he could not touch them. In Revelation chapter 12, we read about the woman in Revelation chapter 12 who had read, fled into the wilderness. But let me just say this. The blood of Jesus Christ is so powerful. He gives us the ability to love the Lord our God with all our heart. So again, if the venom from a snake tries to hit our heart, it will try to get us to attract our love and to look elsewhere to find satisfaction, to look to other loves. Remember, the harlot of Babylon is unfaithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. She has other religious, political, and economic loves with which she is intimate. But the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ pursues intimacy, okay? Again, a picture of the marriage bed, right? She's seeking full union in marriage with Christ. So every other relationship and pursuit is secondary. And again, we all know what spiritual adultery is. The enemy will work very, very hard to try to get us to focus and become enamored with other loves, including the blessings God gives us. So the distractions and the deception is great, okay? So even, you know, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, there was a man who was offering legitimate excuses why he was not able to engage in the king's work. He said, I have to take care of my field. Another one said, I have some oxen I have to prove. Another one said, well, I have a wife. But what the Lord is teaching us is we have to sell our worldly life to buy our heavenly life, okay? So, Sister Terry, that sounds good. So how do we do that? How do we do that? I hear what you're saying, Sister Terry, but how exactly do I do it? Well, number one, we have to obey. We have to obey what God says. And sometimes we would like to give our opinion. We get upset and angry. We lose our temper. Just quickly say, Lord, forgive me. Ask forgiveness. If you lose your temper, if you lose it, quickly ask the Lord to forgive you. Ask the person that you have spoken out of terms with. If you've allowed discord in the home, deal with it quickly. You don't want discord in the home, okay? So we have to receive the word of God. We have to abide in it. What does that mean, abide in it, Terry? What exactly? Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Okay, we know that the tree in the Garden of Eden, the tree of life, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we feed on him, right? Jesus said, I'm the vine, you are the branches, if you abide in me. And he gave one promise after another about abiding. What does it mean to abide? It means, beloved, that we remain attached, we remain close to him, that we don't allow anything or anyone to cut us off from the vital life and the power that we have through relationship by the power of the Holy Spirit with the Lord. We have to hold firmly to that. We have to hold fast to the head. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that we have to hold fast to a denomination. Nowhere in Scripture does it say we have to hold fast to a movement. Nowhere in Scripture does it say we have to hold fast to another member of the body of Christ or to hold fast to a ministry. He said, hold fast to the head. Husbands and wives, cleave. Husbands, cleave to your wife. That means watch that the enemy cannot bring any separation in there because he will try to do it. Again, if we understand that Scripture is given by inspiration and it's useful, okay, it teaches us doctrine, reproof, and correction, and instruction, right? What does that mean? It means we must understand that the delusion that is sent, okay, and 2 Thessalonians 2, Paul talked about it, the delusion that is sent, okay, indicates to us that apostasy is the result of a failure to believe and act on the truth, all right? So the delusion that is sent by God is a judgment against those who have already rejected truth. Now, again, because the voice of the serpent brings lies, okay, that we know that the spirit of truth, the voice of the Holy Spirit, brings truth. And his truth and his voice always agrees with the canon of Scripture. So if you're listening to a teaching, a message, someone has a dream, someone has a prophecy, what do? We have to listen. First of all, it has to agree with the Word of God. And the character, Lord is long-suffering, and he's very, very patient with us. But he doesn't tolerate sin. He just doesn't. He doesn't wink at it, okay? So if you're hearing something, and it's like something on the inside of you just doesn't sit right, you can't put your finger on it, okay? We need to set that aside and say, Father, would you please show me in Scripture? If I have a dream, Father, show me what you say in Scripture so that I know if this is true, if it's from you. If it isn't, because every message will have its origin in one of three places. Every message, every teaching, every prophecy will have its origin in one of three sources. Let me give those to you. Number one, it will be the source of the authority of the Word of God, which cannot change. The Father tells us, heaven and earth will pass away. Jesus said, my words will never pass away. All right? He's honored his word even above his name. The authority of Scripture is our place of safety. So messages can have their source in one of three places. The first being the authority of the Word of God, the canon of Scripture. And the message will always exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. It will always exalt his glory. It'll always lift up the message of the cross, and it will never ever puff up or bring adoration to a man or a woman for that matter. The second source that a message can come from is from a demon, and we know that Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:1, that there are doctrines of demons and there is apostasy. There's a great falling away. There will be apostasy increasing, all right? So a message can have its source from a demon, from a false teacher who has opened themselves up to error and has given place to a spirit of error, who are teaching or introducing another Jesus, another spirit, or another gospel. All right, and that's 2 Corinthians 11:4. The third source that a message, dream, prophecy can come from is from the futility of a man's own mind and out of his own heart. And Jeremiah 23:16 talks about that, okay? So, again, when we hear something, including what you're hearing tonight, take everything to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Father, what about this lady? Is she speaking your word? Is this accurate? Does it line up with the word of God? When these doctrines of demons, and they are permeated the church, absolutely defiled. In fact, there are a couple places in Scripture where Jesus said, all the tables are full of vomit. I'm telling you, it's a mess. The things that God's people have been introduced to and what they're feeding on. Again, when false doctrine comes in, and it has a voice, the voice of religious error and heresy has a voice, it is designed to undermine what is taught in Scripture. So what it does is it introduces truth with error. And the age that we live in, this is an age of apostasy, we know. It's the spiritual climate through which the voice of religious error and heresy is operating. Okay, and there are individuals who have opened themselves up to trying to acquire knowledge in ways that are not scriptural, all right? This voice, the voice of heresy and religious error, again, having its source in the father of lies, is encouraging people to incorporate the practices of the East, okay? And you can see that in Isaiah 2 and 6. Go take a look at it. Because the Lord was talking to us in the Old Testament as well as he is in the New, that the people were practicing the practices of the East, New Age spiritual exercises, kundalini, yoga, visualization, mysticism, divination, the contacting of spirit guides, and those that are trying to initiate conversations with angels. Now, beloved, we understand that angels do interact with the saints. But nowhere in Scripture are we told to seek to initiate conversations with angels. Now, the Lord speaks to us through different ways and manners, but his voice will line up with Scripture. Let me just give you a couple of examples, because we don't want to be listening to the voice of a serpent. We don't want to be listening to the voice of heresy. So, first of all, the Lord speaks truth to us through the Scriptures, right? The living word of God. That contains the written language of God. He also speaks to us through an inner voice or a witness of the indwelling Holy Spirit. And that still small voice, right, is the language of the Spirit that we hear from within. Now, he can also speak to us through the audible voice of God. And I've had this happen 3 or 4 times since I've been born again. The Lord also speaks to us through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, okay? And the gifts are operational today. There are those who are cessationists who say the gifts have stopped with the early church. That's nonsense. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He speaks through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, his body language, okay? We could call that body language. The power gifts, the inspirational gifts, and the revelation gifts. And he can speak to us through our everyday conversations. We'll be talking with somebody, right? And we hear something, and it's like, wow, I heard that. It's like it lands in our heart. Sometimes we hear him in the conversations we're having with people when our own language is spoken. Now, he speaks to us through parables, riddles, and dark speech, which are examples of God's symbolic language, okay? He speaks to us through visions or trances, which are the picture language of God. He speaks to us through dreams, the sleep language of God. He can speak to us through our circumstances. And by the way, he doesn't always wow us, okay? Sometimes it's just something that just clicks. We just feel his peace. So again, when we hear the voice of God, we understand there's a picture language of God. There's the sleep language of God. There's symbolic language. There's body language that comes through the gifts of the Spirit. But primarily, beloved, I believe he speaks to us through the Scriptures and through the inner voice of the Holy Spirit. And he guides us into all truth. He is the Spirit of truth. He shows us who to pray for. And as we abide in him, you will bear good fruit. Obeying his voice will lead you to that place of untroubled rest and union with the Father. That's the abiding. Let me just remind us tonight, and I'm reminding myself, thank God, the blood of Jesus Christ is speaking over us. It has initiated our salvation, right? And it provides atonement and redemption. His blood has justified us. You have been forgiven and acquitted of guilt and sin. Listen, much more now being justified by his blood, you will be saved from the wrath to come. Okay, that's Romans 5:9. Beloved, there's a difference between tribulation and wrath. And if you are in Christ, if you are abiding in him, if you've trusted him, he's Lord and Savior of your life, I tell you, you will be protected from the wrath of God. Yes, we're going to have trials. Yes, we're going to have tribulation. Yes, we're going to walk through stuff. And yes, it is perilous. We're in those perilous times. We're in the time of birth pangs. But let me tell you, his blood has seen to it that you are covered. It is his righteousness. You have right standing with God. You have the right and the ability to approach him. Don't you dare let that devil tell you you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you've messed up too much. Whatever lie he's trying to tell you, put on the full armor of God and keep that helmet on tonight, beloved, and approach the Lord's throne of grace. Boldly come into his throne and know that the righteousness of God, which is by faith, belongs to you. He is sanctifying us right now. You, if you belong to Christ, are set apart unto God, all right? And the word of God tells us, but you are in Christ, okay, 1 Corinthians 1:30. And God, Jesus, has been made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You are sanctified. Colossians 1:20 says, he has made peace through the blood of his cross. He did it for you, beloved. He did it for you. He has not given up on you. You can do this. You can press through. You can get out of that pit where the enemy has tried to keep you buried and keeps trying to throw dirt on top of you, reminding you of your past or what you think is your own unworthiness. And yes, we're all unworthy, but let's get over it. He made you worthy by his own blood. We must understand that he loves you. He's chosen you, justified you. He's justified you. He's the salvation that is begun, okay? We have been redeemed. We are being sanctified, and he said that we shall be glorified, and he has given you overcoming power. Hallelujah. He said in Luke 10:19, this is his words, not mine. Luke 10:19, behold, I give to you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Hallelujah. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Praise the Lord. Revelation 12:11 says, and they, they are you and I, those who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Beloved, in the word of God, we see in Numbers chapter 21 an incident where God's people were being disobedient. They were rebelling. They were complaining, and God sent snakes into the camp, and those serpents actually bit the people, and some died. But guess what? The people came and repented. So there is a remedy for snake bite. Are y'all ready? You want to hear about it? It's in God's word in both the Old and New Testament. The remedy for snake bite is Numbers 21 verses 7 to 9. They confessed their sin. God told Moses, I want you to get a pole and a serpent of grass and a brass and put it up on that pole. And whoever looks on it and believes, he will be healed. Now, they were healed of a physical death. When they looked on that pole and they saw that serpent of brass, again, brass meaning judgment, Jesus was judged for our sins. Did you know that? He that knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. And again, in John's gospel, Jesus said, as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, that's John 3:14-15, he was showing us a picture. As he was lifted up, as he became sin for us, as he received the wrath of God in our behalf, we can be healed from spiritual death. We can be healed and know the fulfillment of what it was written of, O death, where is thy sting? Let me tell you, beloved, if we walk with Jesus, if we stay focused on him, if we hold fast to the head, walk in the light that we have, be obedient to the word of God, we must understand and know that even as it was true of the Apostle Paul, when the Lord sent him on this voyage journey, and he landed on the island of Malta. When they were building a fire, we all know the story in Acts 28:3, the viper fastened itself to Paul, and the people were watching because they knew this was a deadly, venomous viper. But we must understand that the viper's poisonous bite that was inflicted on God's obedient servant could not deter him from his assignment. Paul had supernatural protection, and so will you. When he preached the gospel in obedience to the Lord's command, we must understand that when disciples walk in obedience and love toward the master, the venom from a serpent's bite cannot affect their heart, their strength, or their mind. The very thing, the objects where the enemy is trying to discourage you in heart or in the strength of your body or in your mind or your thinking. We must understand also that we have authority over all the power of the enemy. And Moses had authority in Exodus 7:9-12. We see that Moses and Aaron's rod. It was cast down. We saw that Janus and Jambres, the Pharaoh's magicians, turned their rods into snakes, and we see that Aaron's rod actually swallowed up the rods of these magicians. So that tells us that the power of the God that we serve and his authority will, has, and will continue to swallow up the lie of the enemy, the deceit, and all the magic arts, all the occultic practices that would try to come against you, your household, your ministry, your family, your business. I tell you, you will trample. You can trample on them. And the Lord is positioning his people to come to a place where you, in fact, will be a demonstration of the power and the anointing that comes from the living God. Beloved, the enemy is looking for ground, room, and opportunity. He's a liar. He's trying to get our focus off of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's wanting us to be focused on what our spirit, our physical ears and eyes are seeing. And it doesn't mean that we ignore what we see or hear. What it means is that our focus is on his word and on the promises of his powerful blood, that when the destroyer passes over, the blood speaks over the lintel, the doorpost of your house, and the destroyer will not and cannot touch you. Hallelujah. Blessed is he who has justified you. Blessed is he who is sanctifying you, and blessed is he who is preparing to glorify appearing. And it's in his name, the name that is above every name, Jesus the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the soon coming King, is well able to strengthen you for that which lies ahead. And to that, Brother John and dear brothers and sisters, I say glory to God. Amen and amen.
Wow. Praise God. I needed to hear that. I believe with all of my heart, a lot of people needed to hear that. All I can say is, I've got text message, talking to Sister Nancy behind the scenes, here, kind of chatting in regard to what your message and how it's, I just needed to hear it, because I'm telling you, I can't seem to get over the hump. I mean, it's like as soon as it looks like I'm going to get things okay and in order, I just get I'm getting crushed at work, crushed. So let me tell you, when you're getting crushed from so many different directions, and I know a lot of people are. I mean, I'm getting the emails, crushed, slammed. It is really, really hard to pull it together. the analogy is like a gigantic quarry truck full of, whatever being dumped on your head. And it's like I'll start the work week out and everything will look just fine. And then I can't even explain it. I mean, right now, it's a miracle that I thus far still have a job. Let's just leave it at that. Thank you, Jesus. But yeah, it's debilitating. It's literally debilitating. And I would love to be able to just walk away from these back-to-back meetings from the bowels of heck, and go into my room and just fall to my knees and pray. But you can't, it just keeps, it's like, so that's why I'm always appealing, I don't know if that's the right word, or sending out a fleece for prayer for myself, because I need it. I mean, it's like amazing. And I know Sister Nancy helping with the ministry work and stuff here as well. That's why she's getting hammered. And I could just list names. I mean, literally, I won't do that for privacy purposes, but I could just list out right off the top of my head, probably a dozen people that communicate with me off and on that are just going through, unbelievable stuff. Bad. Really bad. And I'm like, we need that pep talk. You know what I mean? We need to know, because you're right. That I spend more time in tears, bawling my eyes out, feeling unworthy. I can't, sometimes I can't even pull it together. I mean, I literally can't pull it together. And, you know, it's, I think there's other people out there that feel that way too, because, you know, when you're getting bombarded, slammed, punched out, just bad stuff, one after the other, you know, it's like you can't come up for air. You can't breathe. You know, that's how bad it actually gets when you're stuck in corporate America right now, corporate anywhere, corporate. I mean, I just got an email from Chamil in Belgium, and he was just praising God because the Lord finally liberated him from this unspeakably oppressive job that he had. And he was just jumping for joy and praising Jesus. And I was feeling so happy for him. And I was thinking to myself, okay, Lord, when's my turn? You know, but anyway, praise God. Thank you for what a powerful message. We all needed to hear it so bad, especially me. And I just wanted to say thank you. God bless you. I love you, Terry. I thank you for every moment. And any time that you and Bud mention me in prayer, I just praise God for that. Thank you. I really believe that, you know, right now, well, it says in the scripture that we all, the saints need to be praying for the saints. That's what seems to be like one of our number one admonitions from the Lord. And I think nowadays, more than ever before, I mean, really, this is a very, very hard time to be alive. Especially when you're awake and aware, you know, it's seeing the things that are happening around us right now are emotionally debilitating at times. Thank you for that encouraging word. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. God bless you.
Thank you, John. It's a privilege, and God bless you too.
Did you want to go ahead and close with a prayer for us tonight?
Sure, I'd be happy to.
Thank you.
Father, we thank you so much that you give power to the faint, and those who have no strength, you would give us strength. Father, I thank you that your word tells us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I pray right now, Father, for brothers and sisters who have a broken heart, a wounded heart, who feel they are faint of heart. And I thank you that the grace, the anointing, and the power that you have given us, you have delegated, you've given to us. We thank you, Lord God, that we are well able to overcome, not by our might or power, but by your Spirit. And we praise you. And we thank you that you help us to keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We praise you and thank you for this night and for everyone who's listening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Sister Terry. Again, I'm already looking forward to you joining us. You know, hopefully your schedule will allow for you to join us again same date next month. That would be a powerful blessing. I'm hoping that you'll be able to do that. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. What an edifying and powerful message. God bless you all for joining us. Thank you all. Pray for each other. Pray for each other, folks. Pray for each other. Just pray for the saints. Pray for the listeners of the program. Pray, because all those of us who are aware, think about it. There are, what, millions of Christians out there that are completely unaware of where we are in the end times timeline. And we are blessed, but also burdened by having to carry that with us. And so that's why we need extra prayer for one another, to be able to overcome, to persevere through these very challenging times. So prayer is everything right now. Praise his holy name. Thank you, Sister Terry, for joining us. Very encouraging message. I needed to hear it. I know everybody else did too as well. God bless you all for joining us. We will see you, Lord willing, Wednesday night. Lord willing.
Amen.
Pray.
Good night.
God bless
you
all. Thank you, Terry.
Lord, we come to you with repentant hearts. We seek you with all our might. Sinners at the mercy of grace, redeemed we are by your embrace. praise His holy name. Praise the King of Kings. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? For you we will endure until you come back for your bride to set her free. Write our names in your book of life. We are cleansed through your holy sacrifice as we lift your name on high. Renew our mind, renew our soul, remove the scars from our past and deem us righteous. We rebuke all deceptive lies. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? Till then, we will endure. We are the branches on a living tree. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? Till then, we will endure.
I shall lift my obedient children to the clouds, for they shall see my glory.